tell me that rant that you were doing about technology a minute ago. Redo it for the show.
Yeah, I love technology. Everything about technology works perfectly as planned. And go technology!
Ted Kaczynski, everybody. You don't know who that is, do you?
I do know who that is.
No, you don't.
The Unabomber.
I thought he was the left winger for the Minnesota.
That too. It was probably his brother.
North Stars. I was going to say North Stars. You think I was going to go with the Wild, but no, it was the North Stars.
Right.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Hello and welcome to episode 458 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam, alive and well and vibrant in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
AWV. That's the new, that's it. Vibrant.
Yeah, I'm super vibrant. I'm what does fall that mean? Vibrant. No, it just means
when
I'm
you
like,
walk down the street,
I'm bursting with color. Yeah, they're like, wow, look at that guy. He's
look at super the vibrancy on that guy.
Someone turned it up. The slider is cranked. It. Yeah.
Yeah, his clarity way down, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Why is so vibrant, Adam?
I don't know. I'm just feeling good. The sun's shining. It's
yeah.
It's just another day in paradise in Vancouver, British Columbia.
It's the same. The sun came out today. Because it's been cold, and then it was like, oh, my God. And then, you know, like Thanksgiving coming up, and I made Thanksgiving plans, and now it's supposed to be like 24, 25 degrees on Thanksgiving. That's not right.
Oh, wow.
I'm okay with it. Meanwhile, Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Click through our site. Help us out. I bought something yesterday. No, I bought something, and it said, hey, like this is in like the evening of 2 days ago. And it said, "Hey, if you click check out in the next 53 minutes, it'll be at your house tomorrow."
Wow!
Like, what's that's not right.
It's a bonus.
Yeah. So I got it.
Okay.
I'm way more excited than I need be. I think you're gonna want to get one or five as well. I think.
Okay.
I bought an electrical outlet.
Ooh.
Yeah. I bought a replacement, a pack of two. I bought a two-pack, though, of an electrical outlet that has two USB plugs built into it.
I have
like it's got a. Do you already have those built in the wall?
Well, they're not the built-in ones. They're just like the ones that plug into your outlets and have like, you know, whatever, four outlets and then like four USBs. Like I'm staring at one right now. They're super convenient.
Oh, so you have that plug-in one. Oh, no, that's for, like, homeless people.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no, mine is built, like, it's built in. Like, it's right, it's like...
I get it.
No, it's like you're sitting in an airplane, and, like, it's like, oh, there's the USB.
Wow, that's impressive, yeah.
I installed them myself as well, and only got electrocuted the three times.
That's pretty sweet.
My new record is only three. So I'm way too excited. And I also bought, at the same time, I also bought one of the ones that you're speaking of, though. One of the little pass-through ones that just got a couple USB plugs and a plug as well. So, you know, in case I end up being homeless later, I'll use that.
That's right. That's a backup. Yeah.
But these ones, I like them. I like it way too much. I just sit and stare at it.
Okay. Is there little blue lights that light up or something?
No.
Okay.
No, I'd read about some of those and I didn't want that. Did you want that? I don't want that.
No, I don't know. This is fancy. Why would you stare at it? There's no lights.
Yeah, right. No, some of them really do have little blue lights though. I didn't realize you're making that up.
No, I was telling the truth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, they don't have those. But it's awesome because what's nice now is that because my wife has one of those Samsung phones that uses the USB. Like the mini, micro, whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
And then I have the iPhones are different. Now we can plug them both into the same outlet and not have to plug, you know, all that nonsense that we went through before.
Right. I think the rest of the world is ahead of you on this one.
Oh, there's no question. Like, but the reason I got them was that in Germany they were very expensive. Like, like I checked like a year ago, and like one of these units was like they're like $80 or something.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and I said, oh, nine, which is German for no thank you. And then I saw the other day they're like $15, and I was like, oh, that I can do. So there we go. Here we are.
Way to go, man.
Welcome to 2015, Mr. Attridge. Yeah. Jump in. The water's warm.
Yeah.
Point being, click through our site when you buy yourselves a couple of these, and you'll help us out. You'll make sure I can afford to buy a couple more of these.
Yeah, that's important.
I need more cables though, because I'm running out of cables fast.
Yeah, that seems to be the choking point for us as well. Is just never enough cables. No matter how many cables you get, the cables go missing.
That's true. Because yeah, you have one in the car. I always have one in the car, of course.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, there you go. Well, we'll sort this out.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll talk to a 12-year-old me and explain to him, okay, here's the situation you're going to find yourself in. Not enough lightning cables. What, Lorraine? What?
Right.
What's going on, Adam?
This is the Remembrance Day long weekend. They call it something else.
No, it's not.
Well, no, sorry, not the Remembrance Day. We were just talking about Remembrance Day. That's why that's why I said that. This is the, I don't know what's
on.
Yes, that's right. I knew it was something that the Americans don't celebrate for another month.
Well, it used to be their Columbus Day, and now it's, I think he's a bad guy now.
Okay, so they don't celebrate him?
Well, like he was always a bad guy, but maybe, I don't know.
But for the listeners at home, I have a long weekend, so
yeah.
I am riding high. That's why I'm so vibrant, is that I am staring down the barrel of 4 days without needing to go to work. So that is awesome.
Too bad your kids don't have jobs, though.
Well, my kids at least are in school today, so that's good.
Yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. So Thanksgiving on Monday, are you doing dinner?
I'm not sure, because my parents
were just starving that day.
Well, no, my parents visited, like, we're not doing a big group because we had my parents visiting 2 weeks ago. My wife's parents visited last weekend. So we're basically home alone as our 4-person unit. And, so yeah, we'll probably just do something small with by ourselves. So we're going to be,
you don't
alone.
Have friends? You can invite friends over?
Well, most of the friends do stuff with their, it's very much a family thing. So I don't know. We thought about it. We have a couple of friends that don't really have local family either. And then we thought, oh, could we all be losers together? And should we do that? Or, should we go start a new tradition and go to IHOP and eat pancakes on Thanksgiving? So we're throwing around a few ideas. So I'd prefer not to cook a big turkey for 4 people, considering I'm the only one in my family who likes turkey.
You don't have to cook a turkey, though.
No, but turkey's kind of the thing. Like,
No, it's not. And it's funny you say that, because
we're doing turkey.
Turkey's fine. It's chicken, really.
No, it's not. That's a horrible attitude.
Nah, if I put it on a taste test, you're going to have...
Would know 1,000%.
You're on the Pepsi challenge. I put down chicken breast, turkey breast with gravy on it. You're going to know. Oh,
I'll take that wrong. Challenge.
Yeah,
take that challenge right now. Right now. Let's do it right now.
Okay, I'm on my way. the whole turkey, didn't I have... No, it wasn't Thanksgiving. It was Easter that we had. I had turkey dinner at your in-laws.
Yeah, and that was turkey. Yeah, that was definitely turkey.
Yes, yeah, so you don't chicken. Do turkey wasn't on chicken. Easter. No, I know, but Easter's ham. I don't know what you're thinking about turkey. Yeah, we enjoyed it. It was excellent. I remember having a good time up there. My wife, the vegetarian, not as much fun. Did not enjoy it as much. But anyways, point being, we're doing Thanksgiving as well. And so just our family, of course. And then, my Canadian friend there from baseball, him and, his girlfriend will come over, and we'll do Canadian Thanksgiving, but we're not doing turkey either, because my wife's a vegetarian, not going to make a turkey. Can you buy turkey here? I don't even know. They don't do it.
Okay.
So we're going to go with my, the one side of my family, Because here's a little tidbit about me that you may not have known about my 23andMe. I'm what you call a complete mutt, in that I come from everywhere in the world. Not probably not Africa, I'm guessing, but just most other places. And so one vein goes back to like the Ukraine and that part of the world. And so we will do, when I grew up, like growing up, that was kind of one of the traditions, was to have like cabbage rolls and pierogies.
Okay.
So we're doing homemade cabbage rolls and pierogies for Thanksgiving on Monday.
Okay. Nice.
What is your policy on cabbage rolls?
They're good.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah.
Just, I'm a fan. And my wife learned to make them very quickly. Like, she had never heard of them, did not know what they were. And I got the recipe from my mom, and wow, first time out, just knocked it out of the park. And we make them once a year because they are a massive pain to make.
Yeah, our next door neighbor, they're old world. They're in there. I'm going to say my next door neighbor who cooks is 80, and he makes amazing cabbage rolls. Mm-hmm. He's not from Ukraine, but I'm going to say he's something from over there.
Right.
Yeah, he's loud and European, so there you go.
That whole area. I mean, I think Ukraine claims them, but then also could be Polish, you know, like
he's good. He's good.
It's that whole area was just it was a mishmash, so let's not get too nailed down on specifics. Point being is we're making the homemade. I'll send some pictures at him. Don't you worry.
Okay, and I'm going to crush pancakes at IHOP.
That'll be good too. Get the get the Tutti Frutti Fresh and Fruity.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
What's it called? No, something else.
Something like that. There's
Tutti,
something like that.
Fruity, fresh. No, you can't rhyme fruity with fruity.
No,
rootin' tootin' fresh and rootin' tootin' Newton fresh and fruity.
Yeah.
You'll get on that. All right.
Rooty tooty fresh and fruity.
Rooty tooty fresh and fruity.
Yeah, there you go.
That sounds better. Okay, I'm more of a Denny's guy. Moons over Miami. I'm putting a question out to our listeners, and specifically one listener, but anyone can answer if they have some input for me. So the one listener in particular, are you listening, Sean Carlin? I see you on Instagram a lot with your Sean Carlin designs. If you don't follow him, you should. He builds some fantastic stuff. I'm debating on a saw purchase, and I want to know, like, I want to build some cabinets and whatnot. I've always wanted a table saw. I don't have a ton of room. I have some room, not crazy amount. But I want to build some, you know, basically like a mud room, for example, and then some shelves. Do I need a table saw? Would I be better off getting a really good skill saw with like one of those guides? I can see myself getting a skill saw and a cap saw combo. Or do I need a table saw?
These are very important questions.
Yeah, they are, because I'm kind of, I have a table saw. Maybe I should talk to him offline. That's what I should do.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, I have a photography related topic of discussion for you.
Reminder, our monthly challenge for October.
That was so rude. Didn't
even acknowledge it. Herbst. I'm coming back to you, but we're at the point of the show where we have to remind people why they listen, and it's not hot table saw talk.
Yeah.
The monthly challenge for October is Herbst, and that's German for fall or autumn. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, or hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. Adam, what's your photography related?
Oh, okay. So I have a couple of photography jobs coming up next few weeks. Anyways,
okay.
So one of the jobs, like they texted me, I want to say a week ago, people that I kind of have a loose connection to from years past. Anyways, so the job was, you know, they have the person, my contact, has a grandmother. I think it's a grandmother. No, maybe not. Maybe it's just their mother, but it's turning 80. Would that make sense? No, probably grandmother, who's turning 80.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted portraits done for her, or she wanted a portrait. I don't know. It didn't matter. They asked if I would do a portrait of this 80-year-old individual that I've obviously never met. I only loosely know the people that asked for me to do this job. And I said, yeah, sure. And I asked, okay, you know, like, is it just the one person or is this big group of people? And they're like, no, we're just, they're having a surprise party for her. And mm-hmm. so she wanted, or they wanted a portrait or a couple of portraits of her, just her one-on-one. I'm like, perfect. This is no problem. We can do it indoor, outdoor, whatever she wants, whatever the weather dictates, like, you know, shooting one person and doing a portrait. This is something that, that I have, it doesn't matter whether I know the person or not. This is something that I can do. Right. So yeah. I said yes. And they, you know, asked for a price and, I gave them a price and blah, blah, blah. Anyways. So then
the formula for the price is, let me stop you there.
Okay.
It's $50 plus $2 a year.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah. It knows that's like a little sound effect we had added in there.
Yeah, we're high tech that way. I'm going to huck my phone across the room. So anyways, I said to them, you know, yes to this job, and it was going to be in like 2 weeks. And then yesterday night, I get a text from the same individual who says, my grandma or whatever is not really into the portrait anymore, or maybe she didn't know about it. And they just asked her, and she said, no, I'm not comfortable doing that. Whatever,
right.
Whatever the reason may be, but we'd really like you to come to the surprise party and just take photos of the surprise party. And what do you think my response was?
Or I could go play in traffic.
My response was, I don't forget even talking about money or what this would cost you. I don't think you have enough money for me to put myself through that. Again, if I was starving on the street and the only way to feed my children was to do this, I probably still wouldn't do it.
No, you'd do it then, because I'll tell you why. Because I've actually early in my career, I've done this, and I can tell you, don't do it.
Yeah, I was like,
I just shoot a video of that of my party.
Gosh. And I,
yeah, that's
and I
a said, delight.
As soon as I saw the text, I started laughing and I showed it to Lisa and I'm like, what do you think my answer is? She's like, there's no way you're doing that. I'm like, yeah, there's no way. I can't even give a price to that because I would hate it so much. And this isn't like, hey, this is these are my best friends and I know all the people. I know nobody at the party except for loosely one person, the person who's hiring me. And 80-year-old surprise birthday party is going to have Well, it could end pretty quickly, but it could also have so many different people and like, who's this guy and why is he taking pictures of us eating? Like there's no good way to do this. And I hate weddings, let alone, this is worse than a wedding. This is way worse because at a wedding, at least you expect a photographer there
and they'll be drinking. Pictures. Here, there's not going to be, there's no way Nana's putting up with drinking.
And how long are you going to be there? Like, there's so many variables that I was just like, I said to her, that's not something that I'm interested in doing or would like to do or would even do for my own family is what my response was. And then my contact sort of chuckled. She's like, I totally understand. Yeah. And, you know, maybe she wants to sort out a group family photo for a different side of her family in 2 weeks. And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I have no problem going to Gary Point and doing, you know, a big group shop of your family. That's a different scenario. But taking like part...
When my actual mother turns 80, I probably won't go to the party.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there you go.
There you go. But anyways, I just thought like going from a job where I really was thinking like, this will be fun to do a portrait of an 80-year-old, something I haven't specifically tried to do, but something I know I can do. And I honestly was kind of looking forward to it, just thinking like, oh, there's a lot of different options here and and this could be fun and interesting too. Oh no, this is not something that I am comfortable doing.
Hey Nana, how should I hashtag this on the gram?
That's
what you gotta ask her.
I was like, okay, so the job just changed from something that was going to be a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars, like was what I was going to be in my head. And I was like, but what if I say I'll do this for $2,000 and they say yes, I still don't want to do it.
No.
Like, again, there isn't a sum of money, because that $2,000 is not going to, you know, change my life. Yet, I think the party might. The party might change my life. I might never be the same.
Yeah, you won't like that. It went from, hey, Adam, after skiing, do you want to come over and hang out in the hot tub with a bunch of these chicks from the slope? You're like, yeah. And like, oh, yeah, that fell through. Do you want to go feed garbage to some raccoons? Do they have rabies?
Are they going to be in the hot tub?
Yeah. Are we still doing the hot tub thing? No, that's not happening. Okay. Yeah. Now it's a broken sauna with rabid raccoons. Okay. No, I don't. I'm going to sleep on this one.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'll put it past our listeners and see what they think.
I just think that anyone who is a burgeoning photographer, is that a word? Burgeoning?
Yeah.
Okay. Blossoming, I don't know, whatever the word is for a newly developing photographer, like getting paid for it, watch out for this one, the old switcheroo. Yeah.
It is the bait and switch, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. No, I didn't want to step on your story, but as soon as you said, yeah, we want to do a portrait of the 80-year-old, I was like, no, you will not.
Yeah, I know. It was too good to
super into that.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, really? This is what they want to do? And I think the idea was she was going to get, you know, her hair done and her makeup done for the photo. Right. And then boom, you're going to go after the photo shoot. You're going to have this surprise party. So, I was thinking same thing. I was like, how many 80-year-olds really want to get their portrait taken? So anyway, turns out none. No, nobody wants to.
I had that same offer. Somebody said, hey, I don't want to get a portrait of my grandma. And then like basically put it together. And then the last minute said, oh no, she's got shingles. So she doesn't want it.
Was so like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I understandable. I don't blame her. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let us know how that goes.
Okay.
All right. So did you shoot anything interesting this week?
Just photos that will be relevant to the photo challenge. Yeah.
I also did not. And the reason I didn't shoot anything interesting is I've decided to raise the bar for what is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So far I've just been flooding the market with, I clicked some photos and that's interesting. It's not that interesting. Okay. So this week I did nothing interesting.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
Photo challenge is boats. Now, I tried to lob one right into your wheelhouse because you live in boat town, man.
Boat country, yeah.
And you zagged. You went a different direction.
Yep, I did.
Let's have a look at yours. A place of an area that I love this area. I don't love Granville Island as much as I supposed to because, okay, oranges shouldn't cost that much, but still, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
It's cool, but the surrounding area is really cool, really great to photograph, but specifically the Burrard Street Bridge. I love the Burrard Street Bridge. I kind of love Burrard Inlet here with the West End in the background, so I love this area. What were you doing down there?
My in-laws were in town, and they were going to stay the last night of their stay. They stayed a couple nights with us, and the last night of their stay, they're going to stay with my sister-in-law, who has a place in Vancouver, so close to the water. Right. And we were going to go because they recently had an anniversary and we were going to go for an anniversary dinner at the Keg at Granville Island. So this was last Saturday night.
That's a boathouse though, right?
The Keg isn't. There is a boathouse.
Oh, I thought it was the Keg boathouse. Okay, carry on.
There's the Keg and there's the boathouse, two different restaurants. But anyways, there's a Keg right down on Granville Island. And I said to my wife, I'm like, well, what time are we going for dinner? And she said, oh, we're going to meet down there at like 6:15. And I said, oh, great. Let's go down, you know, half an hour early. And then I can walk around and take some photos. Turns out it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
And there was traffic. So I didn't have the time I wanted to, but I did have about 15 minutes to walk around. And again, it was perfect time of day just based on magic hour with how early the sun's going down. I just happened to catch the perfect window of 15 minutes to walk around and shoot photos. So I just kind of scoped out some different spots. I wanted to see some city, some boats, and I took a pano with the this. So this is all the two photos that I've posting the photo challenge and then the panorama. Basically, both taken with the new camera or the new to me camera, whatever it's called, the Fuji X100S. And so I did the in camera pano where you just like kind of like your iPhone, you just kind of drag it across and it just goes boom, 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 boom.
Did you do the up and down, like the portrait mode or the landscape mode?
I did the landscape mode and then just kind of swept it across. Uh-huh. And so there you go. There's the pano shot. So that was the first shot I took and I really liked it, but I couldn't see the mountains. That was my decisive factor. Cause I thought I like the panorama. I love the light. I love what the reflections and the buildings and everything. I don't really love the boat in the bottom right-hand corner. But I just like the sort of, you know, this is the view. It's pretty cool looking down there. Nice time of day. And then the photo challenge, was just a one shot, but on the heels of the pano, I thought I'm going to kind of do this kind of as a, almost a pano type crop. So
a pseudo pano, if you will.
Exactly. The pseudo pano. So I kind of cropped the top and the bottom of the image, just thinking that I wasn't losing anything that was that exciting other than a little bit more water and a little bit more sky. So all the important stuff, was still included. And I just kind of liked the aspect ratio. So, one sort of a water taxi that comes back and forth. There's lots of these little boats that come and go. Mm. And I just kind of wanted to, being that the challenge was boat, I wanted to isolate a boat, make there a clear subject in the photo, but just the vantage point of the Granville Street Bridge, right? Granville Street Bridge. Yeah. Granville's behind me. Yeah. Granville Street Bridge. And
built in 1936, Adam.
There you go. I know you know your bridges, but then I loved the fact that I could see the mountains in behind and also from that angle could see sort of the skyline underneath the bridge. So I just like this perspective and the fact that it's, you know, there's a lot of symmetry in this photo with just where the bridge falls and where the boat falls and where the skyline falls. I just really like this photo. So that was the one I decided to go with.
Interestingly, right in between like the bottom of the bridge there, in between the two main pylons there, you see those buildings and the and the trees.
Yeah.
That is where I got pulled over for going 58 kilometers in a 30 zone.
Oh no.
And talked my way out of it because I pretended to be full German and gave him my German license.
Oh, I remember that story. Yeah.
It was right there.
The last time I took a Granville Island photo, I think that's where that came up.
Is that right?
Maybe a year or year and a half ago.
I don't think so, because it's not really Granville Island related. It's West End related.
No, but I think that the bridge was in the shot.
Could be. Maybe. I don't remember. I think I brought it up organically. But anyways, point being, like the photo. What I like about this, first of all, I love this area. What I like is that specifically, the boat is lit up nicely and it's framed nicely in between the stanchions of the bridge. I don't know. I know you just said I know my bridges, but I don't know if that's a stanchion or not. But what I like is off in the background where you can see the West End and the way in the distance you see Stanley Park and then the mountains, like that's like Cypress up there. It's like it's really cool. But what's awesome is that it's lit up and kind of golden, but now the sun is being shadowed onto the Granville Island side, so it's a little bit blue. Except for the boat in question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just good time of day. Just again, one of those things where
I took and just got lucky
and
just tripped and fell and your camera snapped a good photo.
In all honesty, I took, I'm going to say 20 photos. This one was good. I liked the lighting in the pano. Yeah. And the other 18 were just nothing special.
Right.
So you have to keep moving around, changing angles to find something that looks cool, looks interesting. So this kind of scenery really does help make a good photo and the right time of day. Those are the ingredients. And then a little trial and error never hurts.
Nice. And hey, that's the good part about having that camera too, is that when you're going to the keg, now I know what you're talking about, by the way, because I know I think the keg used to own the boathouse and now they don't, whatever. I'm not getting involved. Point being, you're going out for a nice dinner. You don't want to sit there the whole night with a giant camera with you.
Yes, true.
So that's could just fit in your wife's purse if you want and you're done with it.
Yeah, and exactly. No bringing extra lenses, no extra weight. I don't even have a case. Like it's just, it's great. I'm really, really happy that I bought that camera. So you were, I hate to say this, you were right. That I know, camera,
that there's a lot of that going around right now, by the way.
I could basically throw away all my other gear, like sad to say, but yeah. I won't do it. But this simplifies things exponentially.
If there was an X100, call it the F85, that was an 85 mil version as well. Like, I'm not talking about changing lenses. I mean, like, you have the 35 mil equivalent, I understand, but 35 mil lens version, but you could also buy the entire camera separately in an 85 version.
Right.
I would consider buying both of those and tossing out the rest of my cameras.
It's a good point, yeah.
That would be a little bit insane, but not that insane.
Yeah.
I don't think. I would love to have one that was an 85 and just walk around and snap those. You have one on each shoulder, you'd be fine. Think about it. You're in for, if you're buying them brand new, they're probably around $1,800 Canadian each, all in with taxes. Taxes are a little high in Canada. So for $3,600, you got those two cameras. What are you going to, you're going to buy a decent, you know, DSLR with a few lenses. I don't know. You're not going to be far off.
Right.
I don't know. I can't see it happening. People are, you know, it probably won't fly, but I would at least consider, it'd be a coin toss for me.
And for those of you out there thinking about it, search your used classifieds and whatnot, because if you can pick one of these up for under $500, no questions, pull the trigger, you'll be happy.
Correct. All right. So for mine, I don't live in Boat Town. So a little bit, I was definitely trying to lean towards you, but I did know that one of the things that Tubingen is famous for, I mean, not famous, but famous in this region, is we have those little gondola boats like they have in Venice, kind of. They're called the Stockerkahn. They go up and down the Neckar River, and it's a very famous, very popular thing to do when you're in Tubingen. And so I thought, okay, well, it's October, but the weather's decent. For example, I swam in the Freibad today, October 11th. Can you believe that? I figured, okay, there'll still be some boats out. I can go down and shoot some of these. And so you can see in the wide, there's a wide shot with the little yellow tower.
Mm-hmm.
That's where one of the spots where all the boats kind of hang out. It's right on in the old town. That's a very famous tower. Some poet guy named Holderlin lived there. Went insane there. You say tomato, I say bleh. But that's a famous tower for that reason.
Okay.
Regardless, that's where all, like, that's half of the spot where the Stockerkahn, and you can see all the Stockerkahn in the picture there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go down there, you can rent them, you can rent the whole boat, or you can go on like a little, you know, $5 or €5 cruise up and down the Neckar. Very popular thing to do in the summer. I thought, I'm going to go and shoot that. That's what I'm going to do. And luckily, they were still there. The entire week, we had just awful rain, like cold weather, like just couldn't get out and shoot. Nothing to shoot. Until today. Today, the sun came out, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I'm going to get down there and go and shoot. And so I did. And while I'm walking along the Neckar Insel, the Plantin in L.A., Google all these things, because if you come to Tubingen... If you come to Tubingen, maybe I'll meet you down there for a coffee, okay? Not you, Adam. I mean, the listeners.
The listeners. Gotcha.
So while I'm walking down there, I see this little green rowboat. And I stop and photograph it. And for some reason, I chose this. Not the Stockerkahn. I chose this as my challenge photo.
Hooray.
I'm going to take five while you laud your praise upon.
It's like a walk-off. He's like, yeah, just drop the microphone. Just walk off stage.
Yeah. I got I got vomit on my sweater already. It's mom's spaghetti. Boom.
You know what? At first, I didn't love it. I actually kind of like it.
Yeah. Same here.
It's the green on green kind of effect. Like, no, I'm, mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're being serious or not, but I do like it.
No, I'm being dead serious. At first, I didn't like it either. It took me three times to look at it. And then I was like, wait a second. There's something about the green on green. I swear. I'm not making fun of you, where I was like, this is very muted colors. Like, this is really, it's something about this, about the little rim around the top of the boat that reflects it in the water, that did it for me. And I said, okay, yeah, I did not intend to use this one until I saw it the third time. And I said, no, this is it.
Well, and you have two versions. You have like one with a bigger reflection and then the actual one that you used. And I 100% agree with your cropping choice, is that that other stuff, the reflection in the water, is far too distracting. And so when you crop it down to your actual challenge photo, I'm like, yeah, it's actually, I like it way more than I should. Well, I think so. Or maybe you just took another version.
No, different photo, different angle, like entirely different.
Oh, and I'm not looking at it too close, but I just thought you snapped two or three different versions. Yeah, it's not an exact crop because you don't see.
No, one of them is I was standing up higher on the island, and then like the one with the reflection, I actually walked down right to the water's edge and took a different photo to shoot that, like that old building reflecting in the background onto the river, and that way you find the boat. But this one was like, I was like, all right, that's fine, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's too distracting. It's much better with the muted colors and then just the green boat, which really does stand out. Good job with, again, it's one of those situations of I wouldn't have thought that there was a good photo in here, but it actually is a good photo. So props to you.
Appreciate that. And this is the 5D Classic with the 70-200, and I threw a quarter black Pro Mist on the front, which kind of gives it that little muted, like it helps to mute those colors.
Right.
Which I kind of like. Now, so I also shot, it was one more. I thought, okay, while I'm down here, I want to get one. Like, luckily, an actual Stalker Con was in use, which normally there's a whole bunch of them up and down the river, but again, being October, it's rare Friday morning in October. But this, so you can see in the background of the last one, this guy's out taking a couple guys up and down the river. So I wanted to shoot the ducks in the foreground with a couple of the bows of the Stalker Con. Got the Stalker Con in the background, and above it is a very famous bridge in Tubingen, the Neckarbrücke. And then that's very famous, like you want to walk across there and get your picture taken with the Holderlin term in the background. Everybody does it. If you ever come over here, I will take a photo of you and your wife, or by then your girlfriend, I'm assuming. But
yeah, probably.
By that time you get over here, trophy wife. I'll take your picture there with that in the background. That's a very famous thing to do. But I was like, oh man, perfect. Finally, the guy's coming into the picture and I can get something that really makes some sense. And, you know, didn't really care for it.
Okay.
It's fine. I mean, you can see like the big pole he's using and sticking up. There's some action going on. There's definitely some, you know, very, very dark in the foreground, very, very almost blown out in the background. And it's fine, you know, and I would have used it had I not, you know, won the Academy Award with that boat picture.
That's right. Yeah,
there you go. All right. Topic this week is, I talked to a friend of mine, a guy named Paul Kubina, young guy. He's like, he's so young, he doesn't remember when there wasn't digital photos.
Okay.
That's a weird thing to me. But you think about it. I got my first digital camera, little point and shoot, in December of 2003. So he's like 21 years old. So that, what does that make him? Like, he would have been 4 years old when I got that. So what does he know about from digital and film, right?
Right.
So he we talk a little bit. He shoots with the Sony. So you might know him. He was on the cover of one of the Game Day magazines from last season. But I wanted to talk to him a little bit about shooting with Sony and some different lenses, and that we sat down this week and that's what we did. So without further ado, here's me and Paul. Okay. So once we start, which is now, we don't edit. So if you see any swears, Paul, it's going to be on the show.
Oh, damn.
All right. First off, Paul's here. Paul shoots with the Sony
A7III. It is
the A7III. So some of you might know who Paul is. Paul's been on the cover of the Spieltag magazine that we shot. This was last season. I played baseball with Paul until he moved away this year.
Right.
And well, let's hear more about Paul from Paul. Welcome to the show.
So hey guys, thanks for having me. First off, my name is Paul. I am currently becoming a photographer and filmmaker, and I'm 22 years old and been listening to the podcast for a while.
Okay. Now, you don't get to be on a podcast just because you listen. So what is it that you do? Are you currently for a job?
I am currently becoming a photographer. Like, I'm going to school and working at a company and trying to learn the best from my boss. He's been a wedding photographer for quite a while now, and he's showing me how to photograph.
How to photograph. Okay, so you already are a photographer, though.
All right.
That's the thing. Yeah. So that's always kind of funny, is how do you become a photographer? Well, you start taking pictures. Now, how do you become good? That's a lot of practice. There is some technique you have to learn. The good news is there's resources everywhere. But it's not just photography, right? Aren't you doing video editing as well?
Yeah, I'm doing video editing and color grading as well. That's the way I'm trying to go, because I'm really into color grading. The first time I touched one of those panels, I don't think the people know what it is. You got three balls. Mm-hmm. You can roll them around to get the colors right where you want them. And that was like, that's fun. Photography helped me, like editing photos to get a sense for colors. And I'm trying to get that into videos as well.
So how did you start taking pictures as a kid, later on in life? When did you start taking photos?
Oh, it sounds cheesy, but like, my parents bought me a camera a while ago, when I was, I can't remember, I think I was 10 or something. Mm-hmm. It was pretty old. It was not a film camera, but it was a digital one. And I was just running around taking pictures, especially on vacation. And that was a heck of a fun. And then I guess when I was 14 years old, I bought my first own camera that I paid with my money. And I used it till a few months ago.
Right.
Yeah, that was a Canon 550D. And I stick with it.
550, I forget what that is in North America.
They have, it's one of those Rebel ones.
Sure.
Yeah, T2i or something.
Something like that. Rebel something. All good cameras, I found.
Yeah, they are. They are, like, especially for starters. Like, it's all you need. You don't need any more. And, like, I used it 7 years now.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you still have it?
I do still have it. Yeah. It's propped up on the shelf, so I can see it where I came from. And
right.
It's always nice to grab it and get that feel back.
Well, as I've said on the show many times, listeners are probably tired of hearing it about it. It's nice to have what we call a beater, a camera that you don't really care what happens to it. You can take it, you know, to the beach, take it into the water. You can take it skiing. It doesn't really matter. I've still used my 40D with the 30 mil lens, which, again, everyone's heard a million times, but it won't die. And so it's at the point now where if it dies tomorrow, I'm already 2 years past what I needed from it.
That's crazy.
So it's great. Everything's free at this point. So I don't mind. So I highly suggest having that. Okay, so you take a lot of pictures for a hobby. You decide you want to do this for a living. You're done with high school.
Yeah.
What's that called? It's not Hochschule, Realschule?
No. Gymnasium.
Gymnasium.
Gymnasium, there we go.
Stimmt. There's many different routes you can take, and I forget all the names because I didn't go to school
here. Yeah, complicated in Germany.
Yes. So gymnasium, that means basically high school in North America. You're done there. Now you have to decide, hey, what do I want to do? And so now you decide to go into, it's not specifically wedding photography, right?
No, it's not. Like, the term in German is, it's just, auf like
Deutsch.
It doesn't fit.
Kannst du auf Deutsch?
Mediengestalter, Bild und Ton.
Oh yeah, that makes, everyone knows what that means.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, but it doesn't fit me, because you get taught to become a TV cameraman.
Right.
That's all. But that's not what I'm doing. But there is no other route I could go to become a photographer and filmmaker here in Germany.
Okay.
Because we're in Germany, so at the end of everything, you need a paper that says, hey, you did this and that, and it got signed, and then
you're right. I had to bring over my diploma.
There you go.
Which I got from film school, which really... it's not worth the paper it's printed on. Like, the way diplomas work and at these schools in North America, I learned an awful lot, mm-hmm. or was in a position to learn a lot, so it worked out great. But it was so fun. I never opened. I got my diploma in an envelope, never opened it. Just tossed it in a bin somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when I came to Germany, the union or the I forget who needed it. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll get it out. And so 20 years later, 15 years later, I looked at it for the first time. But that is Germany. You sort of need your structure.
Yeah. And a degree in some kind.
Right.
Yeah.
Which will, you know, it will come in handy, but you don't want to be a TV cameraman?
No. Actually, I've been a TV cameraman for a few months. Like, I tried it out.
At?
At, like, a local TV station here.
Called?
Here around, called RTF1.
Okay.
So it's RTF pretty small.
RTF1.
At RTF1, there we go. It's pretty small, and it was fun. But, like, the first thing for me that was crazy, they've still been working and recording on tapes, on mini DV tapes.
Right.
And at first I was like, wow, okay, so old and stuff. But I have to admit, it was great that I've learned on this old tech.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the basics, you know how it works. And when everything fails, you can get one of those and you'll do fine.
Right. And so that's an interesting process. Not interesting, it's an important process to learn. Because what is the process for shooting, capturing, editing? How does that go with the old tapes?
Oh, with the old tapes. So at first you need a tape, and you got to put it in, I don't know what it's, in one of those machines where you can play them and stuff. And you got to record 30 seconds of black.
Right. Very important.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And why is that?
Yeah.
Why do you have to do 30 seconds of black?
Why is that? Okay.
It's called pre-roll in English.
There we go. So you need it because when you put it in a camera or in another device, it can't just start right at the front.
Right.
Because it's a tape.
Correct.
It's a mechanical thing.
Yes.
So you don't
get
numbers.
So one of the issues becomes, and I learned this the hard way, is I have done that before where I popped a tape in really quickly and started recording. And that's great. And so you start recording and now you have some important stuff right at the head of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you go to capture that, maybe the machine can't read it because that tape physically has to go through and be read by the machine. Well, it might take longer, like physically, mm-hmm. actually like
mm-hmm.
a few centimeters longer to get to the head that
the
reads
reading
it.
Head, yeah.
And therefore, you may never be able to see that image at the very beginning of your tape. Also, it's less so with digital, but it still happens, mm-hmm. is you have to get up to speed. Like, the tape moves through the machine at a certain speed.
I see.
Well, it's not instantaneous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like in the old days, when you would record sound on a Nagra, now we would use like what's this called? The
H4N.
The H4N that we're using now.
Zoom, yeah.
You hit record, it records. Well, back in the day, you'd use a Nagra, which is that reel-to-reel tape,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome, but it would start and it would take a second to get up to speed. So on a film set, you would hear them say, all right, roll sound, and then the sound guy would yell, speed, meaning we've hit the actual speed that it's going to record at. Otherwise, it will sound like that, and then it'll sound normal again. So on the tape, you have to record the pre-roll, so you can avoid all of that. Also, you know that if you're reusing tapes, you'll know it's a you're not recording over anything important.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is if you are recording on a brand new tape, it'll not have time code on it. The time code happens as you're recording, so there's a possibility that if you don't record that 30 seconds of mm-hmm. black and then put it in the camera, you can get what's called time code skips. Now, none of this matters in the world now because everything has gone to solid state, essentially. Everything goes to a card.
Yeah.
These are important things to know, though. Honestly, they come in handy down the road. And the other thing about recording with tape is that when you go to capture that, it's in real time. You record for an hour, it takes you at least an hour, usually more, to actually record that footage onto a hard drive.
You gotta sit there and wait.
And that is painful. Now, my process now is I record to like a SD or a CF card, depending on the camera,
yep.
and bring it into the computer. And then I then expand it. Before I edit, I expand everything to ProRes, but put that on. So that takes time as well, but I can just put it on and go, walk away, come back later, and everything's in ProRes.
Right.
So you cut your teeth in that, which is very important, and then you get this new job.
Yeah, it was a coincidence because I was working in a marketing brand, and like I've been writing a few curriculum vitae. There we go. I think that's the word. And trying to find a new job because, like I said, we're in Germany. You need a degree. You need something that says, "Hey, you learned that." And then I met my boss in Fulda, and we met, and it was a fun day. Like, I got there into the studio, and it was a studio. It was the first time for me to get in a real studio and stuff. And then there was a big box on the floor sitting, and he asked me, "Hey, did you work with bigger cameras already?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've been using those big TV cameras." Yeah, yeah. And I was like, "Yeah." And then he told me, "Yeah, okay, open the box and put the camera together." And I opened the box, and there were like two red cameras.
Okay.
And my mouth was open and my eyes just got bigger. And he looked at me and he was like, "Okay, you've never seen one of those?"
So now, like, these cameras were black, but they're made by the company called Red.
Right, yeah.
Okay, Red One, what were they? Red?
One is a Red Scarlett MX, and the other one is Red... Don't remember. Those are both Scarlets. Like, it's an MX, that's an older one, and a Scarlett W.
Gotcha.
There we go.
So these are the real deal cameras now.
Yeah,
now you're shooting real, which means... it allows you much, much more flexibility on post-production and color correction.
Right.
Which is what you want. You like to get into into the color grading.
Right.
Which is an art all unto itself.
It is.
Meanwhile, you're doing all this, which is great. I always recommend even if you wanted to be a studio cameraman, go and work in something tangentially related. You'll develop an excellent skill set that can transfer over at times when you'd least expect it.
Yeah,
you know, like I learned in film school, I didn't know interest in how to do sound. I didn't care, but I went and learned how to do it because I wanted to learn how to use that Nagra. I wanted to learn where's the mic placement, because you never know when 15 years later you might start a podcast. Who knows?
And it'll come in handy.
Yeah, it does come in handy. Although I've learned much more doing the podcast than I have before the podcast. So definitely. Great opportunity to get into a guy who does like a one-man band, who shoots photos, shoots what you know, video, does color correcting. You can get in with him. You can learn all the aspects. And then later on, you can specialize if you like. So meanwhile, you're taking more and more photos. And this is what I want to talk about specifically, is you decide you need a new camera. So what made you decide on the Sony?
Ooh, it was a long process. Like, I can imagine every one of us photographers got that little sense and tickling for new camera tech. And since the first A7 came out, I've been looking at it, and it's been a few years now. And I've been still using the DSLR, and SLR was always the new thing, and it's not as good as DSLR and stuff. And I've been looking for a smaller camera. And you've guys been talking about the Fujifilm X100 on the podcast for a few times now. But it was too small for me. Like, especially starting out at my new job and working with big cameras, I wanted something that feels like the stuff I'm using at my job. So I got everything. I got the frame rate. I got everything I need, but it's smaller. And I didn't want to get the downsides of not having an interchangeable lens.
Yes.
So I decided on the Sony A7 III because it was the newest one at the time I got it.
You had a Canon.
I did, yeah.
So what made you see? I had the Sony in my hand at 1.2 when my 5D Mark II, which is sitting in that bag over there. When it broke and I needed a new camera, I was debating. I needed a new camera that week. I had to go shoot a project, and you know, I was like, all right, I guess I'll buy the 5D Mark IV, which I didn't want and was way too much money. And so ultimately I went and had the Sony in my hand and there's a couple of reasons I decided not to. And I ended up finding a used Mark III, which was a complete shock. So it worked out for me, but What was it about, what made you want to switch from the Canon to the Sony?
Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing was, like, my Canon was really old and I was always like trying to get best bang for the buck and trying to keep it cheap. My main lens was the Yongnuo 50mm lens that you can get for $80 on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided for me that that's the end. Like, I want a real deal camera, like one I can use for everything, because I'm also trying to start something on my own, like a small company where I maybe do wedding or something. That's it. And the biggest step for me, like, I was always afraid about using an SLR camera, something with a digital viewfinder.
Mm-hmm.
With seeing a screen up there and not the real image.
Using a mirrorless.
A mirrorless, sorry, there right. You go. Seeing a screen up there and not through the lens. Through the lens, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand. And that was a big drawback, mm-hmm, for a lot of people. By the time I went and looked, it was about a little over a year ago,
mm-hmm,
where I was looking at this camera, and that wasn't my favorite either. I'm not in love with that, but having shot enough video, that's typically what you see. I have shot film. I've shot like an Arri S,
yeah,
or an SR.
Nice.
What are I'll list all the cameras.
You got me jealous.
Thank you. I'll list all the cameras that I've shot with, and those are optical viewfinders. You're looking through and you actually see that little flicker. The film, mm-hmm, flicker is with the mirrors. Google it if you want to know what it looks like, and it's a great feeling. It's awesome and be able to actually see what you're seeing, and so I do like that in terms of photography with the Canon. But when you shoot video, that goes away. Now you're looking at the viewfinder, at the EVF,
yeah,
electronic viewfinder, anyways. So that wasn't as huge a deal breaker for me when looking at the Sony.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that kind of threw me, and I'm probably wrong here because I'm looking at some of your pictures that you shot on Thursday. This is last week. I talked about it on the show, last week's show,
mm-hmm,
our baseball game we played in the finals. Paul was the guy shooting photos. He did unfortunately miss the shot of me throwing my bat in the stands.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. I came back into the dugout and everyone told me and everyone was laughing, but...
Laughing, oh man, because Adam, we talked about it last week, and Adam thought it was very uneventful. He thought he was hoping somebody got hurt badly for the story, and I was like, no, it was really bad. It was really, I really could have killed somebody. But so that was Paul. Paul was there taking the photos. I posted a couple on our Instagram, which I probably forgot to credit Paul for.
Yeah, thank you.
He's getting credit now. And when I post them for this show, I'll make sure we tag him on Instagram. One of the knocks against the Sony has always been, the color science, which I've always, right. I think is kind of nonsense. Only kind of. Part of it is I do get, but I don't think it's a color science thing. I look at your pictures, I like the colors. So
thank you.
What have you noticed about the colors in this versus, say, your old Canon versus, mm-hmm, shooting with the red?
So it is different. I have to admit it is different. But the first thing I learned, especially getting into color grading, you only see the difference when they're side by side. Like, you get, right, a raw image,
mm-hmm,
and you got all your, all the,
it's why
the
I don't hang around with Brad Pitt.
you got everything you can do in Lightroom, and you just go ahead and tweak the colors as you want them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got a different starting point, but you can still get to the same result you want to get to.
Okay, so it is, we're debunking that now. This color science is nonsense. Assuming you shoot raw.
I think it is nonsense, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's mostly overblown. I don't think it's necessarily nonsense, but I think it's 99%.
It's a marketing kind of thing.
True.
Yeah.
I think, so one of the things I didn't love about the Sony is that, and this could be this old guy talking, is that for me, the Sony photos look like very, very excellent digital images.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Canon, for me, they look, especially if I, you know, shoot with my old 5D mm-hmm. Classic, they look like a digital version of a photograph. See, and it's a very minor thing, and I'm willing to admit I'm probably full of it. It could just be a feeling, and mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of feelings, so...
Mm.
But that was one drawback for me with the Sony. The other thing with the Sony was I have a decent lens collection of Canon lenses. You did not have that situation.
No.
That's a wonderful thing. Now yeah. you were able to sort of start fresh.
Yeah. Switch wherever I want to. I've been looking at a few other systems, like actually Nikon.
Mm-hmm.
They also have some new SLR mirrorless cameras. Yeah, there was that 50 mil lens I had, the $80 one,
mm-hmm.
And then two kit lenses I owned.
And the kit lenses, you might as well
toss.
Yeah, you don't need those. But they're at a price point where it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about, oh, the kit lens, they throw in like the, I guess that was the 75 to 300.
It is, yeah.
That they threw in. They throw in with every purchase, like they trick you into buying it. It's like, wow, we'll throw this one in.
Long lens, here you go.
Yeah, and extra lens, and it's sure it's fun to shoot with. It's fine, you know. It's a $100 lens, right?
Yeah.
So anything that's that zooms that far for $100, you can have fun with, and then leave behind somewhere. However, I do recommend shooting with it until you get better than it.
Yeah.
So you start fresh, and now it means you can start with any platform you want. So why not the Sony? Now, one of the things they talk about with the Sony is, well, you can adapt lenses. And so you do. Which is the adapter that you have?
So I decided to get a Sigma adapter.
Uh-huh.
When you're looking at adapters, I think Metabones is the one that pops up first.
Mm-hmm.
But they're expensive. They're so expensive. And the camera is expensive. So I decided, okay, at some point I gotta get something that's not... destroying my bank account.
Right.
So I ended up with a Sigma adapter. I think they come in around $200, and I've been reading reviews a few months, and everyone said they're the same. Like, it doesn't matter. Get a Metabones if you have the money, or get the Sigma one if you need something cheaper.
So what's the price difference? What's a Metabones cost?
$450 or $480 without a speed booster or anything. Okay. So it's just a ring with some
metal on it. What's a speed booster?
A speed booster. So a speed booster is an adapter that you can put behind your lens, and it got a lens in there. So if you have, like, for example, a speed booster that gets you an extra stop of light, that's what they do usually.
Really?
Yeah.
I admit to not knowing this. That makes no sense to me. How could adding more glass? This sounds eerily like the invisible camera, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a scam.
It's getting sold. So I don't think it is a scam.
No, but I can't be a scam. But okay, wait a second. How can adding more glass improve the light throughput?
So I'm not a physician, but. I think a physicist, I'm sorry.
That's a language thing. Paul is German, in case you hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Ich bin Deutsch.
Yeah.
I think it's magnifying everything, so that's how I was trying to get more light in there. But I was always
magnifying
skeptic.
What? I can't
You can't wrap your head
around it. I'm gonna have to give Neil deGrasse Tyson a call. And see if he can shed some actual light on this. Because I can't imagine how adding glass is going to amplify anything. As I said, that was the main lie behind the invisible camera that I made with Chris Marquardt.
Yeah.
Because that's not really a thing. Light amplification, power amplification with nothing going on doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
So when you say speed booster, I could see perhaps it... You know, the connection between the camera and the lens boosts the speed of autofocus?
No.
That I could see. That I would buy. That would make sense to me that you could physically do it. How you can physically boost light with a added glass will surprise me.
Then you got to look it up on the internet.
Yes, I will. Well, I'm sure someone will write in and one of our listeners will help us out on this one. Okay, so that one's around $400 something. What's the Sigma cost?
I paid 210 euros.
Okay, so there's really two different aspects to this that you have to think about. One is the actual physical connection, because right. the lens is a different mount.
Yeah,
you know, the EF mount versus whatever the Sony is called.
It's a Sony E mount.
Sony E mount.
Yeah.
So this is an EF to an E adapter, which physically changes the mount. Great. Now, one of the issues is that this changes the flange distance.
Right.
Now, as I understand it, because the mirrorless cameras do not have the physical, the mirror, hence the name mirrorless.
There we go.
That one I buy. is now they're able to basically buy... These lenses were the EF lenses were designed to stick out further as it were to accommodate for that internal mirror.
Right.
So this distance is where the mirror would be. So now we have the exact same focal length.
It is the exact same focal length. Yeah.
So
if you're using it on the same sensor.
Okay. Like, so a 200 mil lens is going to behave like a 200 mil lens.
Right.
Which is very cool. So that's one thing. So we have the physical thing has changed. However, we have the electronics.
Yep.
Now, this is where I was skeptical. The guy at the store told me, no, like it focuses just as fast, just as sharp, et cetera, et cetera. This week, you shot with my 70 to 200. Yep. What was your experience with that? How was the focus?
To get a small, short spoiler, it was not that great. I've been using the 75 to 300 kit lens I've been owning, and I stopped using the autofocus. Like, mm-hmm. I started to do manual focus even on baseball games and trying to get the focus right with focus peaking and stuff, because I have the electronic viewfinder. And I was curious to try it out with your 70 to 200 because I thought, oh, it's a better lens, it's a pro lens and stuff. That's how they sell it. So I was hoping for a faster autofocus. And at first it worked, but I think the main issue was shooting through the fence. Like it started pumping.
Okay.
And it didn't get focused back. So I also started using manual focus on that lens because I was faster as the autofocus.
Okay. And so when you came onto the field and were shooting
yeah.
without the fence interfering, what was your experience?
Same.
Like so slower focus.
Slower. It did get the focus at some point, but it was too slow to use it, especially at a baseball game. I can imagine using it on vacation or something. You're all set. Like
right.
it's everything you need. But if you really need a fast autofocus, it's still you need a native lens.
And when you're shooting with the Sony, like the 50mm 1.8 that you mm-hmm. have, the Sony lens.
Yeah.
That's your only Sony dedicated lens.
Right now, yes.
How fast is the focus on that?
Amazingly fast.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're noticing a big jump between lenses as it is.
Yeah.
What focus mode do you use for shooting sports?
For shooting sports, if I have a lens that is fast enough, I would use the continuous focus. So right. it's trying to... Sony has some amazing stuff that they can track objects and people. So it's all you need when you're shooting when you're shooting sports stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So how much experience do you have with shooting the 70 to 200 on a actual Canon camera?
None.
Okay, they're actually pretty fast.
There we go.
They're not crazy fast, depending on your camera yep. that you're using. I think with the 1DX, it's probably faster. It does a great job. I have found it does a great job on the 5D Classic.
Mm-hmm.
The 5D Mark III is relatively fast, and the 40D as well. So we'll give it a go after this, and I want to maybe compare it and see what kind of speed we're talking about. But I'm kind of glad that my alarm bells were going off. And maybe it's a function of the Sigma versus the Metabones.
It is. Like, I've tried out the Sigma adapter with Sigma lenses. Because uh-huh. we have some of those Sigma Art lenses at work.
Yep.
And they work perfectly.
Okay.
They work like native lenses. And that's what Sigma claims, and that's how it works.
Okay.
but there is no adapter from Canon to adapt them to Sony.
So, shocking.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense now. But yeah, because you know, Sigma, even though Sigma, I think Sigma makes cameras now, don't they? I thought they're trying
one camera,
to.
Yes.
With the Foveon or whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Point being is they, you know, they want to adapt their lenses to as many bodies as possible, yeah, whereas Canon wants you to buy Canon bodies.
Right.
That's what they want. They want you to stay in that ecosystem. So, yeah, I get it. Were I to have started fresh, I think I might have actually picked up the Sony. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of it, a lot of what you can do. How much filmmaking have you done with it?
I shot a short film with a friend of mine, because he also has one of those, a Sony a7 III. Mm-hmm. So we had two cameras with the same color signs to throw them, right, together afterwards. And it's fun because I'm used to the raw shooting on the Red.
Mm-hmm.
So you got everything, you can pump up the shadows in the edit process afterwards, and you can get nearly to the same results on that camera with S-Log and stuff, but you got to read into it because it's not that simple.
Right. Okay. And then, so lastly, how user friendly is it? Like, I mean, a lot of taking pictures is muscle memory. Like, mm-hmm, for me, I know the Canon inside out, right? I can operate that in the dark, my eyes closed.
Right.
Even the X100, which I have had for a couple of years now, I'm getting much better at, but mm-hmm, I don't have the exact muscle memory as the Canon because I have, you know, 12 plus years with that specific camera. How is the user interface with the Sony?
So at first it looked familiar. You got dials and stuff. And I'm also used to shooting some with Fujifilm. So you get your, what is it called? The dial up top with plus one and plus two.
Sure, the exposure compensation.
There we go. So you got everything on hand. But I think the only drawback with Sony is the menu.
Right.
In the back end. And so many people have been complaining about this. But for me, it was always, hey, if I get a camera from another ecosystem, I need to get used to it.
Right.
So I'm all right with a new menu and stuff, but shooting photos with it is feels nice. You got so many customizable buttons, so you can just prompt up a layout so it feels like a Canon camera.
Nice. I mean, anytime you're getting a camera that shoots both stills and video, it's not going to be excellent at both.
Right.
It's just not physically possible, and that's why, whether you get the Canon, like the C200, 500, whatever series you want to get, mm-hmm, or shoot with the Red or even like the Sony FS series,
yep,
those are dedicated film cameras / video. They're going to be very good at that. So once you have the crossover, things get a little bit muddy, but I happen to love shooting with the Mark III, shooting video with it. It's clunky at some things, but what you can do with it is amazing. You know, and which I think a guy like yourself who has some stick time on the old DV cam cameras, you must appreciate what these things can do in, yeah, such a tiny form factor. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, and even TV stations are calling, like they want the DSLR look. Like, that's a term.
Really?
TV stations use, yeah.
Okay.
They just mean the shallow focus you get with a bigger, sure, sensor, because those DV cameras have a really tiny sensor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's typically, and these, I mean, like this, like this is a full frame, correct?
It is, yeah.
Which is actually bigger than a movie camera.
Yep.
A typical 30, when they shoot 35 millimeter movies, it's shot on 35 millimeter film, but it's up and down.
Yeah.
So it's roughly the same physical size as a APS-C sensor.
Yeah, right.
So anytime you go full frame, that's like VistaVision, massive, huge, way bigger than you shot on a 35 mil movie. So that results in some amazing depth of field, a lot of control over it. And so now that they're calling it the DSLR, like, that's wonderful. Great. All right, Paul. Well, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. And where can people go to find more about you?
If Alan links me on the next photos he's posting, you can find me on Instagram. That's like the only thing I'm using right now. And thank you for having me.
And we're back.
Yes.
You gonna buy a Sony?
That was awesome.
Are you gonna buy the Sony or not?
No, I just bought a camera. Yeah.
yeah, you just got a camera. You're all set.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we came to the conclusion in the interview, but no surprise to me, it seems like you get better results if you use dedicated equipment, meaning you're going to use a Canon lens with a Sony body using a Sigma adapter. That's three different manufacturers. You're probably not going to get the best results.
Right.
So in the end, you know, if you use a Sigma, he uses a Sigma lens and a Sigma adapter, gets much better results than mixing it all three. So try to keep it to under two different manufacturers. I think that was our takeaway.
Okay.
All right. Challenge for next week, Adam. I've got one.
Okay.
Smile.
Okay.
You can get, you know people who smile, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll find out. We'll find out if you do. That's for you and I, but the monthly challenge, a reminder, is Herbst, and that means fall or autumn. And you can hashtag that to Hosers monthly challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers, or even better, tag us at Two Hosers on Instagram, and we'll be sure to check that out and review that at the end of the month. And that's it. No, it's not it. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And mine you can find at AlanAtridge.com. Two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.